Hey, welcome in. Latest episode of that SEC podcast. We're back with one of the highlights of the week with the Roush Hour. Nick Roush, Kentucky Sports Radio. How are you, my friend?
Well, I got to say, one of the highlights of my week was getting to hang out with you a little bit last Friday night in the Music City. And I haven't told you this yet, but it was very funny. The following morning, we were on Vandy's campus getting a little lunch before the game at one of the local establishments. And I was complaining about something very loudly, just like kind of got in my one of like Roush is just fired up over something trivial. It might have been over people not taking cash. I'm very much cashless bull crap. This is Federal Reserve tender issued dollar bills. You're going to take it. I got on one of my dumb little rants. Somebody was like, are you just random person walking down the street? Are you on a podcast? I'm like, yeah, we do a podcast. They're like, no, my boyfriend listens to SEC Mike. I know that voice. I'm like, well, hey, look at us. We're making friends here on that SEC podcast in Nashville.
Nice. I know you're a married man, so she was probably not attractive to you, but would I have rated her on the attractive scale? I'm just curious.
They don't have ugly women in Nashville, do they?
I haven't seen any yet.
Well, except on Vanderbilt's campus, you know. I mean, it's like the opposite of the Oasis.
Right. All right, yeah. Well, Kentucky got their ass whooped. It was kind of a low time in the SEC. So maybe even before we get into that, I think this is far more important, Nick. Mm-hmm. And you could give me unlimited answers here. There's no wrong answers for this one. But when you are piling high your Thanksgiving Day plate in the coming days, what hits the plate? You know, what are like the top three things that has to be on Nick Roush's plate?
So I'm one of those who mixes a little bit of everything, right? Like I like to have a mashed potato base and then throw some vegetables on top, maybe some green bean casserole and then gravy and then just chunks of turkey. Like I'm not Alyssa Lang levels of turkey hate, but like it's just not – I'm there for the fixins. If somebody brings deviled eggs, I'll eat that. I'll eat so many of those. And then, oddly enough, my mother-in-law makes a broccoli cheddar rice, sort of like broccoli casserole. If it's a casserole, it's getting eaten. And I would include stuffing or dressing or whatever you want to call it. I would include that as like a casserole. I'm here for the casseroles. If it's a casserole, it's getting on my plate. Those are the best.
Don't you think Cousin Shane is doing life wrong where he literally will not eat anything that is the color green? I mean, there's a lot of good stuff that's green.
Oh yeah, it helps clean you out too. You know, you gotta have the clean pipes inside, or else it gets backed up, and then that's a whole other issue.
I think he said farewell to that long ago.
He's got to use a plunger to get that out. No, but especially green beans and broccoli, like those are. You get the green beans with the mushrooms and the little crunchy onions on top.
Yeah.
Like you can make healthy stuff unhealthy. Same thing with the broccoli cheddar stuff. Like that stuff, it's not good for you. But hey, it at least has a vegetable at the base, so you're off to a decent start there.
Right. Well, before we get too hungry here, I haven't eaten lunch yet. I think you can tell by now. But I'm dying for that Thanksgiving food. But hey, let's go.
Well, quickly while we're on it, can I just bitch and moan for a second? Why the hell are we not playing for eggs on Thanksgiving night? We used to be a proper country. And I know there's some people in the Lone Star State who were saying the same thing about Texas A&M. I do, like, it's cool that the Black Friday slate is stacked. But at the same time, like, that Thursday night NFL game is going to suck, okay? Let us have some college football to watch. One of my, I'll admit, you know, like I'm this guy from Kentucky. Okay, the college football isn't coursing through my veins quite like it is at some other places. So, like, really a seminal point because for me in rivalry week, I grew up. My big rivalry game was the first of the year, and then we got our ass kicked by Tennessee last weekend of the year. So they changed it up. Now Kentucky Louisville play at the end of the year. So, like, I wasn't always, like, of course the Iron Bowl, but I wasn't as indoctrinated in some of these rivalries. And then, man, one of it's a remember where you were when Elijah Moore hiked his leg up and he pissed all over that end zone. I was three sheets to the wind at my in-law's house, drinking bourbon with a belly full of food, just laughing my ass off. That Egg Bowl is one of the – it's one of the most fun times I've ever had watching football that Thanksgiving night. Lights are dim, and I'm just laughing like the damn Joker watching a college football game. That's what we're missing on Thanksgiving. I know that the NFL games this year actually are, aside from, you know, the banged up Bengals, I guess Joe Burrow's coming back. So there you go, LSU fans. There's something to cheer about this year. But, like, the NFL games are just like, hey, I need college football chaos. I like that some – like, Nebraska-Iowa is always a dumb – Black, like it's just a fun, dumb football game that's like perfect for Black Friday. Having these big consequential rivalries on Friday, like let's just do Thanksgiving, right? Like let's eat our turkey and then let's get back in a food coma and then let's have Lane Kiffin wake us up by throwing his clipboard in the air. You know, like that's I want eggs and then I want horns down, right? I need that on my Thursday night. Black Friday, fine, but just let's make it Thanksgiving. Come on, we use tradition. We need tradition, Michael. Keep it on Thanksgiving.
Right. But now, of course, though, that what looms over everything, wherever Lane throws that clipboard up in the air, where is it going to land?
Oh, it's landing in Oxford. It's landing there. Don't y'all. I know it's a fun added layer to it, and it's going to be obnoxious on that broadcast. Which, by the way, that's another one. Why are we playing this at noon, right? I need the lights to be out for things to get really weird in the Egg Bowl. But and it kind of goes back to – I talked about it last week. Nick Saban mentioned it on game day. But the it sucks for those players, for these fans, that's going to take up so much oxygen on the broadcast. But in reality, Mississippi State, they're a live dog, man. Like, they are alive. This is – I mean – this is what rivalry weekend's all about. Ole Miss is having this epic year, and they're playing for not only a playoff, but hell, SEC championship game appearance if certain things happen the right way. This is where Mississippi State comes in and ruins the day. Lane, is he going to leave? Is he going to stay? And Mississippi State's like, well, if he stays, he's going to get his ass kicked. Because I know you had it pulled up, the Wikipedia. Lane does not just beat the doors off of Mississippi State, right? Mike Leach beat him. Then it was close the last couple of years, even against that bad Zach Arnett team. And then, hell, last year's Jeff Lebby team was absolutely awful. But this is going to be a feisty football game. And they're live, man. They're live. I haven't had a chance to look at the board yet. Do we know the number there?
Yeah, so here we go. We got all the games here. For Mississippi State, 62.5 is the over-under. Ole Miss favored by 7.5.
Oh, I would like I would like a couple more points, but 7.5 home dogs, like, yes, I'm betting that. Like, there's no – this is the other thing, too, Mike. It's like you know, when it gets to college basketball season, I'll start wagering. And the first – you know, you build your bankroll, right? And then first round of the NCAA tournament's there. Brother, we're getting up shots, okay? Like, this is what we're here for. Rivalry weekend, same thing. Like, we are emptying the clip. We are going all in. Like, if you can't get a bunch of shots up on rivalry weekend, then what's the point, right? What's the point? And I love it so much. I love rivalries in college football. There's a bunch of losers out there, a lot of losers, and I live amongst them in the city of Louisville. All you do is care about your rival. What? You're so obsessed with your rival. Think about your own team. Brother, half of fandom is wanting the team you hate the most to suffer as much as possible. Hell, sometimes it's more fandom. I care more about Tennessee losing than I do Kentucky winning most of the time, okay? Let's go Diego Pavia. You lit our ass up. Go light Heupel's ass up this weekend. That is hate. I'm thankful to be hateful this rivalry Thanksgiving week. That's what this sport is all about. It is about getting unforgettable wins at the expense of the people you hate the most. And brother, I think the Mississippi State Bulldogs, they got a real chance. Ole Miss fans are all worried about their coach leaving, and they are worried about the game that's right in front of their face.
ATX Fool says, I hope Louisville wins just because of this guy.
Hey, the rivalry brings out the best in me. And here's the other part, too. I did wear my Billy Lucci duck hat, right? This is for Lucci's always rocking the duck hat. I got my Billy Lucci duck hat. But I love throwing horns down. Like, it's so much fun. But I am among the many who's just waiting for Texas A&M to drop the ball. I mean, come on, right? Like, that. They don't like that they're favored in Austin. There's not one Aggie fan that is like, oh, heck yeah, we're favored. We're going to go win this game. They're nervous as hell because that's the thing that's great about rivalries too, is that you can have this great season. It don't really matter if you lose to your rival though, right? You think you think West Virginia talks glowingly about the 07 season? No, because they lost to Pitt the last week in the year in the Blackyard Brawl. Same thing. In my own context of you're dealing with some mid-ass football teams right now, right? I got a mid-ass football team I cheer for. But if you beat Florida and Louisville in the same year, pretty good year. You know, you beat some of the bad guys, which leads me to you, Mr. Michael. You finally beat a rival.
Yeah.
On their home turf. I told you it was going to happen and you wouldn't listen to me, but by God, it was 21-0 before you could rip a fart.
Yeah. And I was thinking about this morning, Roush. I mean, all this truly does for me. Remember I was giving you your flowers.
Yep.
Kentucky, yep. Whooped the hell out of Florida. Mm-hmm. Now that Tennessee's actually done it, I mean, as if we didn't know already, but Florida's just a complete and total shit show. This is as low as it gets. Losing to Kentucky like this, losing to Tennessee like this.
Yeah.
We will never see this again probably in our entire lives.
Right.
So we should value every moment of this. You know what?
Oh, and it really is funny because we've got our toilet bowl on our hands with Florida versus Florida State. Whereas at least Florida, they can sell themselves on the hope of a new tomorrow. Whereas Florida State is stuck in a bad contract. Wouldn't know what that's about. So right now, I mean, it was kind of funny. We were the Florida State, their awful game against NC State. When it was over, I believe they were playing the U 30 for 30 on ESPN. So I'm not used to being at bars late. And so I find myself just staring at the U 30 for 30. And I'm like, oh, back when those programs mattered, you know, right? Like when the state of Florida, that's where, I mean, that was the mecca of football. And to see them now, it's sad and I don't hate it, right? Like I said, you got to be thankful to be hateful. And oh, shucks, Florida's only got 3 wins. Boo-hoo. Like, I don't know. Kick them while they're down. I at least appreciated there was the one kid they showed in the stands who kept covering his eyes. He had I don't even know what it was, but he was covering his eye. That, and you know what? Shout out to them and shout out to the LSU fans. Like, you all have gone through hell and at least I think Florida fans could imagine a scenario where this would happen. But LSU fans, like this, you were thinking, hell, we could win the national championship this year. And now you're still showing up to watch your team play like shit against Western Kentucky. So you know what? I tip my cap to you. You're still coming out. You're still engaged. But whew, it's hard to do when you're cheering for teams this bad. But you know what? Good news. It's almost over.
Here's the photo you're referencing.
Poor kid. Oh, I mean, that's before halftime. It's 28-0 before halftime, and Tennessee was just putting it on you. But does that give you – I know that a lot of this is all about stomping on Florida right now.
Mm-hmm.
But you said that Heupel wasn't going to beat Florida, and you said he wasn't going to beat Vandy. You were wrong once. Could you be wrong twice, Mr. Bratton?
Oh, I'm wrong all the time. So I certainly could, but I do want to ask you about that before we get to it. Shout out Vols by Fitty, UK's daddy. Nothing makes me happier than seeing a disappointed Kentucky football fan at the end of the season, especially you, Roush. So thank you, Vols by Fitty. So, man, how does it feel to have literally the Vanderbilt quarterback saying, hey, I need to pad my stats. I'm trying to win this Heisman. Please let me stay in the game so I can just keep scoring touchdowns. And that he did, setting all-time records. Mr. Diego Pavia against Kentucky, who they were on a three-game winning streak. There was hope. There was optimism.
Yep.
And it just all just disappeared pretty quick.
Like that. And the worst part, too, is that it was right off the jump. I believe Kentucky had 16 yards in their first four possessions, and they went three and out twice. Like, that was a game where you had to – we knew going in, Kentucky secondary's beat up. Diego Pavia, good at football. You got to score some points here. And the offense had been playing well. And they just, Vandy blitzed their teeth off. Kentucky couldn't run the ball. The offensive ineptitude was very disheartening. But you had a moment where it's like, okay, the offense starts to turn. Okay, all right, we got a couple explosive passes in a row. Cutter Bowley's showing some good pocket awareness. He gets hurt. He gets concussed. Or no, he didn't get concussed. He came back into the game. But he goes down for about a series and a half-ish or so. And that was the moment of the game where you needed him to play, make hero plays to get you back in the game. And, hell, Clark Lee was even begging for him to do it. He went forward on fourth and one from his own 30 and then took the ball out of Pavia's hands. Try to direct snap. And the dude dropped it. It's like, you idiot. Just let Diego Pavia do it all. Like, what are you doing here? So Kentucky got a cheap field goal before half, but that was the part that it was the most shocking for me. It's like, you know what Diego Pavia does. He rolls out, he makes a defender make a decision, and then he makes them pay for that decision. Oh, you're going to come run support? I'll throw it over your head. Oh, you're going to play back? Well, I'll just take the 8 yards, right? He does not throw the ball vertically down the field, and on that second drive, he had a 71-yard touchdown pass, beautifully thrown ball, hits his guy in stride. And, like, I mean, I didn't think he was going to catch up to it, but it was perfect. The second pass of the day, Kentucky cuts it 17-3 before half. It was a sad field goal. They should have gone for it. It's like, you're down. You got to score points. Just go for it. But they kick a sad field goal, 17-3. All right, maybe you get to half, and it's a two-touchdown game, and you got a chance. Pavi is like 59 seconds. That's 49 more than I need, and goes and drops in a 56-yard touchdown. I'm just glad I was there, because then I didn't have to see them show Pavi's mom on the broadcast 100 times. I mean, that would have pissed me off. Like, because part of you, it's like, oh, well, Vandy, like, it's good to see you have your moment. And hey, at least Pavi is good, and he does it in kind of a fun way. I would have been pissed off if I was at home watching Pavia's mom do the Heisman on that rail. That would have just been that would have been a bridge too far for me. Okay. I could be happy for him. That would have been a bridge too far for me. And then they start sharing the stats. Most yards against Kentucky since Peyton Manning, Vandy's single game record. Hey, you know what? Like, the part that does annoy me, though, it's like, I've seen some all-time, like, I've seen Lamar Jackson in person. I've seen Tebow in person, seen Cam Newton in person. Like, all these guys just ball out on you. Pavi is not going to be one of those guys. But I will say, it was kind of cool when they gave him his standing ovation and they were all chanting Pavia as he did the heart sign and walked off the field for the final time. Clark Lee was dead. He was done. It was a failed experiment, dead in the water. Kentucky had poached Ray Davis. Like, they had nothing going for him. And then he rolls the dice with Tim Beck, Jerry Kill, Pavia, and Eli Stowers. He gets the kind of heart and soul of that 10-win New Mexico State team, which, I mean, he won 10 games in New Mexico State. Las Cruces is they had a tree growing from their stadium because, like, like the roots, it was just a weed and it grew into a giant tree in the stands because nobody went to New Mexico State games. And Pavia won 10 games there. And then he's gone to Vandy. He beats number one Bama. And now he's got him in playoff contention. They need some help. I am one of those that like, he is a very fun college football player. He's not going to do anything in the NFL, but he is one of the, like, he's what makes you, what you love about this sport. And I so desperately want him to go to Neyland Stadium, whoop Tennessee's ass in a shootout, get some, because like really what's missing right now, he gets a Heisman moment against Tennessee, then I think he's going to win that trophy, right? It, Jeremiah Love is going to be close because he's got that Notre Dame logo, but Pavi is so much fun. If he's getting the, he got the, Kentucky helped him get the numbers. He goes to Neyland and has some sort of, he doesn't need the Johnny Football, ball is up in the air and he catches it and throws it. But if he has some sort of awesome play and leads him to a win in a close game, they're going to give him that Heisman in New York in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, so that, you just made me think of something, Nick. And it, again, beating number one Bama, that's like an all-time game that'll never be forgotten in the history of Vanderbilt football. But could a case be made that this is a bigger game for Vanderbilt and Diego Pavia and his legacy going into Neyland Stadium against their arch rivals here that again, I just showed the Wikipedia. They very rarely beat Tennessee, 79-33 all-time. Tennessee's won four in a row. But Heisman potentially on the line, playoff spot potentially on the line. Could this be the biggest game of Diego Pavia's career at Vanderbilt?
Yeah, and the chance to end it on a high, right? I mean, they cleaned the slate on their own home field. And I know that Tennessee is not – they've been out of playoff contention for a hot minute, but it's still Tennessee. They're trying to go 9-3 and get back to their favorite game, the Citrus Bowl. You know you can't spell citrus without UT. But it doesn't matter. You want to go out, you want to beat this team, and you want to give yourself – like opportunities, the stars rarely align for programs like Vanderbilt. Right. I know it all too well at Kentucky. It aligned for us for a couple of 9-3 seasons, which should have been 10-2, but they didn't take advantage of it, right? Will Levis had a pick six against Tennessee. Then they dropped the ball at Neyland Stadium against a terrible Tennessee team. I mean, so when you have these opportunities, you have to make the most of them, particularly now that there's unbalanced schedules, right? Because you play who you play, and I know they lost their biggest games, but they stayed in the fight. They come back from a bunch back at Texas. They're not going to be knocked too much for that. You go win on the road at Neyland Stadium. You give yourself a puncher's chance. I still, right, like Alabama beat them, and I know Alabama has an extra loss on that resume. But if crazy things happen at Jordan-Hare Stadium in that rivalry, you give yourself a chance, and – Vanderbilt's never going to have another chance like this. But I think the good news for them is that, you know, that Tennessee defense sucks, Mike. It's it's not good.
But I'll tell you who does it is Joey Aguilar. Come on. I mean, it's going to be a high-scoring game. You know it is, right?
Oh, yeah. Because here's the thing. Kentucky just couldn't handle the blitz. And I think, like, Heupel's going to make them pay, right? Vanderbilt basically said, Kentucky, we know you just want to throw short passes underneath. You're not going to take shots on us. Tennessee will take shots on them, and they'll land them, right? Chris Brazel is going to – Chris Brazel. That feels let's bet some Chris Brazel props. I don't know what exactly they are. We're going to be sprinkling some Chris Brazel props in this game. But this is – everything is setting up to be a high-scoring affair where it's really just a game of who doesn't mess it up. You know, who doesn't have the stupid self-inflicted turnover, and then who has the ball last? And hell, you feel like you trust Pavia more in this situation. And really, that Alabama game, they would have given themselves a chance if they didn't make uncharacteristic turnovers. I would think that this is the only comparable. Like, those two games are the only ones that are really comparable this season, where you had all this hype and build up. Vandy's undefeated at the time. Game day is there. And they looked rattled by it. You would hope that experience would make sure that they aren't rattled now that they have this other big, huge, momentous opportunity on hand.
Hey, shout out VFL 603. Roush, you were the one that was laughing when Nico left. I remember that well. And I was also shout out to you Friday at the bar. You found the Nico jersey. How's that not removed yet?
Yeah, you so you know Nashville is kind of an eclectic town where not people are huge into any one specific team, because if there was a rational Tennessee fan, they would have walked up into that bar, they would have seen that jersey, and they would have said, "We are boycotting this place unless you take that damn thing down." They still had it though. They had the number 8 hanging up right next to the bar.
Hey, one game we haven't hit on here, Nick. Speaking of Thanksgiving, how about this A&M at Texas? You know, here's the scenarios.
I love how you say Texas, Mike. You sound like you're Sandy or SpongeBob. Texas.
Well, this is like a running bit I've had since they've joined. But A&M needs a win to get in, or they need Bama and Ole Miss to lose. So they'll need a lot of help. Yep. Winning, you're in against Texas. You got A&M, Texas. What's your thoughts on this one?
I mentioned it earlier that I don't really like the spot for A&M. But I almost feel like you got to take him, though, because – If A&M gets to 21, Texas can't score points. Now, a year ago, that's the part where I'm a little skeptical, right? Like, maybe Texas does muck it up enough and make this thing ugly at home, where a year ago, that's how this game unfolded, right? Like, there was a lot of nerves in the rivalry game. You didn't have clean football to start at, but once everything settled in, you got yourself into a good old-fashioned slugfest. Styles make fights. Can Texas get A&M into a slugfest? That's what this ultimately comes down to for me, because I don't think they're capable of scoring more than 24 points in a big game. You know, I know they lit up Arkansas. Congratulations. Well done. But against this A&M defense, They haven't performed well against above average defenses all year. So Texas has to get it into a slugfest, and there's a chance they can, because of, you know, it's a rivalry game and they're at home. But even then, like, who's to say Craver just doesn't have, like, it only takes two plays with these wide receivers to just flip the game upside down. So A&M should win. They're a favorite for a reason. I understand why they're a little bit nervous, because they're undefeated going into rivalry. This isn't a spot they're used to being in. Not a spot they're used to being in.
Could there be any more little brother energy than being undefeated, being favored, SEC playoff, you know, right there on the line, and you lose to Texas? They would never shake little brother logo if that happens, right?
And they're terrified of it, because what they'll do is they'll tell themselves, well, we didn't want to go in the SEC championship game anyway, right? We get a home playoff game. That's a little bit of rest. Easy win. We get to pack the stands. They'll tell themselves that, but it'll just eat them alive. Absolutely eat them alive. Because that's what rivals do. Right? Their existence bothers you. And the fact that they could get this win over you, that wouldn't sit well. That wouldn't sit well one bit. And the other part too, would they give the horns a path? I don't, the rankings come out tonight. Would they possibly be able to weasel their way in if they're able to add an A&M win to their resume?
Yeah, I think Texas is going to be ranked around 16th, so they still need a lot of help.
They would need too much help, and then if Andy wins like that, they need too much chaos. But that's what makes rivalries great, man. This is your bowl game, basically. You don't have the playoff. You're going to get a bowl game, but you can ruin their season. And it's a lot of fun to ruin another rival season. A lot of fun.
Bo says, hey, little brother, that's so dumb. A&M's older and bigger than Texas, so.
I don't think the age thing matters, too. No. And
this is what matters.
Saying, I'm older and I'm bigger. That's some real little brother behavior. I mean, come on.
We all know that little brother that does get bigger, and it's like
a little too big for your britches.
But still, the true older brother still gets to pick on that one. You know what?
Yeah, oh yeah. It doesn't matter because there's a complex there, and they got one. I mean, and that's fine. You know, you got a chance to prove it on the field, and you have the talent, you have the coaching right now. So go do it. Make this the best year of your lifetime. Go win. Finish off an undefeated regular season and go to Atlanta for the SEC championship game.
You know, with something else that's kind of unique about that game, Nick, where all offseason, A&M fans were saying how overrated and the whole team, really, but Arch Manning specifically hasn't earned it, yada, yada, yada. And same thing, Texas fans, you know, if they're being honest, Marcel Reed, that's your quarterback. Good luck. I mean, this is an opportunity for both of those quarterbacks to really stick it to the opposing fans here. You know what?
Well, the other part of this too is as much as we got lost in the Arch Manning preseason hoopla, he's been all right. I don't think anybody would say great. But if he, this is fake juice season, right? He's the fourth most passing yards, third most passing touchdowns in the SEC. If you go out there and you throw for 275, two touchdowns, and lead Texas to a victory over A&M, that buzz is going to be back. Right? As bad as he was for a lot of it, the way you end a season really sets the tone for your entire offseason. And as bad as Arch was at times, this is a way to kind of plant your flag in the ground and say, you know, old Papaw, he told you all along this was going to be a two-year deal. We need to just get some starch under our belt, and you see the progress towards the end of the season. If you're able to hang your hat on a win like this, quarterbacks, they always get more credit for losses, and they always are more blame for losses than they deserve. And they always get more credit for wins than they deserve. And that's amplified even more in a game like this that heads into the off season where, you know, your boy, Paul, he's going to be talking about how Arch wins this game. He's right back to Bo Jackson, you know, best thing we've ever seen since Herschel Walker.
He'll be validated in all his takes.
Yeah. I mean, but you know what though? Like If you want to hook them, like you would just say to yourself, we were just a year early, right? We didn't have the offensive line. That's where we really focus on in the offseason, is making sure that we are awesome there. And I know we're going to lose some of these guys, but and then Wingo will be like, he's starting to come along really too. He'll be in his third or fourth year next year.
Third year.
Yeah. So like you see the part where you're, even though this year you felt like you were talking yourself into the national championship, if Arch plays well and you beat A&M, you're right back to talking yourself into it. You should. You should. You get the Arches you always expected. No way Sark will let you down. No way.
I feel like this is just a conversation for you to talk yourself into A&M losing, like you said you're just hoping that Frank. You know, hey, you know who doesn't let us down, Nick?
JR.
Legend.
Never.
Cousin JR has done it again.
Thank you, JR, you damn good dog. He gifted Kyle Bennett. Kyle, we appreciate you, buddy. We appreciate you, JR. And then we also had Glenn Warsaw. Shout out, Glenn, you big boomer sooner. He gifted Ray. Oh, I'm going to butcher this one. Ray Hino Joseo.
Yeah, it was a good try.
Ray, appreciate you. Not really. JD gifted a membership to. JD gifted. Wait, he's the one that gifted Ray. He know. Glenn just joys. We appreciate you, Glenn.
There we go. Yeah.
SEC shot. He gifted Chris Witted. Man, maybe I'm getting blind, or these names are just getting hard to read. Liam O. Jones, Justin Summerlin, Hook'em PNW, and Benjamin Carey. Welcome to the family.
I love that an Aggie fan is calling Texas the Shorthorns. What a great insult. So childish. I love it. The short horns.
You know what's, I forgot though. You know what's not childish?
What?
Poncho Outdoors. Check them out. PonchoOutdoors.com/SEC to get you $10 off of your complete order over at Poncho Outdoors. Nick, this is a fantastic business here based out of Austin. It's one of our favorite things, aside from Arch Manning, of course. Out of Austin is PonchoOutdoors.com/SEC. Holiday season right around the corner, Nick. Maybe you want to get something for a loved one, or heck, maybe you just want to get something for yourself. Help the show, help yourself is what you're really doing by going to PonchoOutdoors.com/SEC for $10 off. They stand by every product they have, free shipping, free returns, so you make sure you get the right size, right fit for you today. All right, Nick, how about one game we haven't talked about? How about the Iron Bowl, buddy? A lot on the line here. Bama eliminated from the playoff. We may eliminate DeBoer from the state if he loses this one, and Bama goes 0-2 in his two seasons reaching the college football playoff. Meanwhile, Auburn, you know, they've got some life here with showing Hugh Freeze his ass a door. All of a sudden, they look like $1 million. What's your thoughts on the Iron Bowl here?
Are we getting Deuce or Daniels?
I think we got to go Daniels. They've not confirmed that, but I can't imagine they're going to roll out the true freshman for.
Yeah, I would agree with you there. That, but you never know with Auburn. My favorite, my favorite fan fiction from this game is DJ Durkin wins. He keeps his job. DeBoer gets ran out of town and goes to Penn State because that you know it's chaos. That would be a lot of fun and.
Shout out Emily Powell. She says it's for sure Ashton Daniels start. Which,
Daniels confirmed. Okay. Yeah. But it would bring all of both programs down. The bigger thing here though is just like this needs to be Ty Simpson tuned up for the playoff because it's a very good Auburn defense. No matter what the circumstances may be, you're probably not going to face too many Texas Tech maybe in the playoff. They got awesome defense. Ohio State obviously does. This is where if I see them put up some points against this Auburn defense, then I'm going to be a believer that Bama can win a title. I really am. Regardless of what happens with tiebreakers, SEC championship, and all that sort of stuff. Like, I say what you will about Auburn, that defense is the real deal. So Bama, go prove to everyone that you can be this awesome playoff team. Because my thing with them, doesn't it feel like their offense is kind of just stalled out in November? It's almost like they've thrown it in neutral.
Mm-hmm.
Is that fair?
I think so. And certainly, you know, we got to credit Oklahoma's defense for a lot of that. Auburn does have a really good defense, but I don't think it's to the caliber of Oklahoma's. So I'm a little concerned that maybe we're overreacting to one performance, but yeah, I mean, I guess LSU, they weren't that good. South Carolina, they weren't that good.
Right. Like I felt like they just, instead of finishing drives with touchdowns, they get to like the 15, 20, 25, and then they can't run the ball. So then it's like, all right, well, let's try to do something crazy to get in the end zone. It feels like it's very hard for them once they get down there that Ryan Grubb has to jump through five jump ropes, flaming hula hoop. He's got to step on a bunch of rocks. It's like the Kung Fu Panda going through his training to try to get a touchdown for Bama when he gets down there. So if they can not play a clean football game, but get back to making things look easy down there, you know, against a really good Auburn defense, then I'm going to be all right. Let's Bama, go on a run here. If not, then I'm going to remain skeptical, even though I am skeptical that Auburn can actually do this.
I think, to your point, it's almost like I don't have confidence in Auburn to go out there and take it.
Mm-hmm.
Bama's got to give it to them. Do you think that's a fair assessment?
Yeah. And the other part, too, is we all know that those receivers for Auburn are more than capable enough to get some big plays that'll scare Bama. So, like, does Alabama even give them a chance? They shouldn't. They shouldn't. But I know that rivalries, things get weird, but I'm actually going to put a lot of stock into this game because even though Auburn's unranked, they are the kind of matchup issue that I think Bama will see in the playoff. They're the kind of matchup you mentioned Oklahoma earlier, right? Bama lost that game. These teams are built pretty similarly. We saw them go down to the wire early on in the year. So I'm going to be very judgmental on this game based on Bama's future. Because the other, if they come out and completely lay an egg, then they're just not in the playoff, right? Auburn can do it. Although I give them, what, 30% chance that they can actually do it? Maybe even less because, yeah.
Here's an interesting thought. Excuse me. I don't know if you've considered this at all, but so Bama, that when they're in the SEC championship.
Okay.
So they obviously want to go because 9-3, they'll probably miss the playoff.
Yeah.
But is there a scenario where they win? They're not going to get a ton of credit for beating Auburn, even though I know that's a difficult game on the road. But so they'd be 10-2. Let's say they lose the SEC championship at 10-3.
Yeah.
Is there a chance they miss the playoff?
I don't think the committee, based on just how they acted last year, I mean, they put SMU in when they lost to Clemson on a last-second field goal in that ACC championship. I think these conference commissioners are well aware of that. That's their money makers, those conference tournaments, those conference championship games. They want them to have value, so they're going to do whatever they can to make them as valuable as possible. Bama is definitely in if they get to the SEC championship game. I would be more curious if, like, are the teams in the Big Ten and SEC championship guaranteed to get a bye? Or if the loser of them, could the loser of them drop down to fifth or something like that? That's where I'm curious, because if you get the bye out of it, then it doesn't really hurt you. But if you have to play in the first round, then you start playing an extra game. I mean, that's an extra game more than the team you're going to play, and then more the team you're going to play in a quarterfinal. So right. I would be fascinated if Bama wins this game. Then let's say they lose to Georgia in the championship game. Never seen that before. But let's say that happens, and then they end up being a first-round host. Like that's just a lot of games. A lot of games.
All right. How about we haven't talked about this, but heck, I put it in the title here, Nick. I got my L's down. How about
yeah.
you?
Yeah.
I mean, what's your thoughts on Kentucky Louisville?
So I know that this probably isn't the first game on everybody's radar, but this is going to be a nice little feather in the cap for the SEC as far as, okay, we're better than the ACC and we know it, because Louisville was contending for an ACC title for a while. Now they're sort of middle of the pack. Kentucky's the bottom of the barrel of the SEC, and they're just going to whoop their ass. I mean, it's going to be a physical just beat down. And some of that is me just being a little bit of cocky, and I know recent history, Kentucky's only lost that game once, or excuse me, twice since 2016, once in the last 5 years. But and one of those losses was to Lamar Jackson. There's no shame in losing to Lamar Jackson. But Louisville did the thing where they thought they were going to be a playoff team, and they had some injuries, and now they've just got guys quitting. Or actually, they're hurt. Louisville fans will go, this Kentucky hack showed so much disrespect. That team quit, right? They quit. They showed it against Louisville. Their quarterback, USC transfer Miller Moss, had a weight room accident, and that's why they had to bench him against SMU, play the backup, who was bad, threw for 90 yards. Kentucky is a flawed football team. There's no doubt about it. But the teams that have really ran it up on them, Pavia, it's Aguilar, it's these pass offenses that can just Miller Moss, he's just throwing it to the other team. All right, that guy stinks. Even if they put in the other guy, he runs it okay, but he can't throw the ball either. Their first round wide receiver Chris Bell is out. Isaac Brown, their running back's out. Duke Watson, he looked pretty good too. Oh, he got hurt in the last game. Keywon Brown, he was awesome. He had four straight 90-yard games. And then he gets hurt. He misses the SMU game. So they're playing receivers at running back. They're done. They're donezo. They're not ready to go. Kentucky, they will stuff the run game. That's all that Louisville could do. They'll force them to pass. They'll make mistakes. They'll make turnovers. And then I think this will be a little bit of a, hey, you ran it up on us last year. Well, watch your ass out because we're coming for you, Vince Marrow. Right? People forget that guy's on the other sideline. He spent 12 years throwing L's down, wearing UK blue, and now he's wearing Cardinal red. I think Kentucky, all of that stuff, plus the chance to go to a bowl game. I mean, bowl games, we all know what they are, right? Like they are what you make of them. And for Kentucky, it's ensuring that the progress you made was not all for nothing, right? Because winning three straight games from late October through November, it doesn't mean shit if you can't finish it off by beating a bad rival team and getting to 6-6 and then going and playing a game in Memphis or Charlotte, right? I mean, who doesn't want to see Mark Stoops covered in mayo, you know? it's good, clean fun. So I'm expecting a Kentucky win. And the other part of it too, Mike, that I think is interesting, I am on the sliding scale of where Kentucky fans are with Mark Stoops. There's some people who are really pissed off about that Vandy game, and his ass went right back on the hot seat. For me, it's like, you know, not a whole lot changed. You got your ass beat by a team that was significantly better than you. Big picture-wise, those problems weren't going to change one way or another based on that Vanderbilt game. You got to win this game, or I don't even know what the or else is, though. I really don't know what it is because they got that $37 million buyout hanging over their head. But fans, as much goodwill as they bought with that three-game win streak, they are going to be letting go of that rope if Stoops doesn't win this game. So it's a big win or else Saturday afternoon for Mark Stoops in Kentucky at Don't Call Me Papa John's Cardinal Stadium.
Yeah, I mean, and all that you laid out, the, why Louisville's down in the dumps and hurting and banged up and quitting and all this, it makes it look even worse for Kentucky if they can't win this one.
I mean, Louisville lost by 30 to SMU, and then the week before, they lost because they missed a bunch of field goal. I mean, like that game against Clemson was a disaster. It was really a contest to see who wanted to lose the game more. That was ugly. So as long as Kentucky – like if they get out to a good start, it'll look a lot like the Florida Kentucky game.
Nick Roush cop quote out of context. I don't think the age thing.
I plead the fifth.
All right, hey, any of these other games? Thoughts?
I
on
just
them?
Wanted to mention Oklahoma. You know, you did it. I told you you should probably be a little worried about that game, and you escaped.
It wasn't pretty.
No. I don't know what to make of them because they win this game, they're going to be in the playoff. But like, what can they actually do anything once they get there? Who? It would be fun to see them and Texas Tech play a Big Ten game. You know, race to 10.
One of their fans reminded me, Nick, they won a national championship once, 13-2. So, because I said, well, they got the defense could win a championship, offense to win a FCS championship. But it's a different era. I mean, you can't just one-off it. You know, that was a bygone era where
you only had to win one game.
Right. It's a much different story these days.
This is a good reminder. John Mateer, it was fun in September. And I guess he's got another year and they'll run it back with him. But the portal's not starting right away, but you're already seeing the Pete Nakoses of the world talk about all these D2 guys and FCS guys that are getting in the portal. It's a good reminder that sometimes a portal class might just stink. And this portal quarterback class has been pretty bad. Mateer's one of the better ones, and he kind of stinks. Now, he looks like a different player since that injury. You don't know how much that's messed with him. But just for all of you, everybody out there looking for a quarterback, you know, not all quarterback portal classes are created equally. And DJ Lagway is the perfect example, right? Like, there's going to be fans selling themselves that he can still be good, and he might just be who he's telling you he is. So just, you know, you tiptoe into that portal season when that bad boy opens on January 2nd.
Already looking forward toward the portal. Well, hey, that's a perfect place to go to Sellers in South Carolina, Clemson. Speaking of the ACC sucks, man, that must win for your boy Beamer. Dabo's, he's riding sky high. I think they've won three in a row against worthless competition. But, man, both these coaches desperately need this one.
And, I mean, this is one, I believe, so what's their record? Is that, would this put Clemson in a ball? So they have already got it. Ticket to postseason. Beamer can't go to a bowl. This is going to be one of those where each team's trying to give it away. Each team wants to lose. South Carolina defensive special teams touchdown. If you don't, like, just bet it. It's probably not great odds, but just bet it. Get it 5-1. There's going to be some sort of Beamer ball involved in all of this. This is going to be a very stupid football game. And I want to see, like, who has the dumber antics during the game? You know? Is it going to be Shane? Is it going to be Dabo? And here's the other question, too. I'm sure the answer is Dabo, but who is the more hated coach?
Oh, it's got to be Dabo, doesn't it?
Yeah, because Dabo won more. So
you're biased.
So they know him more. Where Beamer is just not very good. Beamer, if you lose this, you lose your November, all of your November credit you got, right? Because he's Mr. November. Beating Hendon Hooker, and where the hell Hooker got hurt that game.
He didn't get it back for Coastal?
Coastal? No credit for beating Coastal Carolina, the Chanticleers. No credit for beating them. But here's the other thing, too. Mike, I mentioned that it you can get a lot of fake juice with the wins at the end of the year. This could be a big fake juice win for Beamer. You know his ass is going to be selling it. He's already talking about we're going to be watching the playoff rankings next year to see where we are. So, Clemson, don't let him get this opportunity. Just make him sit in a 4-win season. Really sit in that stink.
You know, all offseason they're going to be selling. We're on a 2-game winning streak heading into the offseason.
I know. And then maybe, you know, basically the one thing that's nice about the portal, the sword probably cuts both ways because you know that people are going to be tampering. But Beamer at least has a month to try to convince Sellers to come back. He has time to hire an offensive coordinator. So if he wins this game and says, hey, here's the plan we got for you, Lenoris. Give me one more shot. Right? We had a lot of fun in 24. Things didn't go well in 25, but maybe they can in 26. That's his biggest recruiting battles are keeping him, Nick Harbor, and Dylan Stewart. Right, because that's a great nucleus, but can you build anything around him this offseason? You sure as hell can if you lose to Clemson and go 4-8.
The old turnover trash can says most hated Dabo, most annoying Beamer. I think that's probably a good ranking.
Yeah,
that
feels about accurate.
We haven't talked much Georgia Tech.
Oh,
is that still a game, you think? I know Georgia Tech's coming off a loss. Georgia's heating up, but a lot of hatred between these two. And last year, of course, was the, 7-8 overtime, whatever it was. I mean, it was a hell of a game last year.
That was the game that I thought would make the college football world revolt and change the 2-point off. Because that could have had some playoff implications if Georgia would have lost that game. Because the 2-point off, I hate it. I absolutely hate it. College football overtime is great. You know how you fix it and get fewer overtimes? Instead of starting it at the 25, start it at the 50. You're out of field goal range. You can't just kick field goals to stay in it. The 2-point off is stupid. I would doubt that if you started the 50, that most would go past 2 or 3. So just go back to the 50. There you go. Old Mr. Roush just fixed college football overtime. I like Haynes King a lot. Right, he's my favorite Texas A&M quarterback out there because he's gritty. He's kind of Pavia light, which made it fitting that those two played each other in the Birmingham Bowl last year. It was just like, you all belong together. You know, this is the perfect Spider-Man meme. But Georgia Tech was due for that loss. They had played around with their food way too much. And the way that Georgia has taken it up a level and really put their foot on the gas over the last month or so, I'd be shocked if they didn't continue to put their foot on the gas. I know that everybody's sensitive to fast car comparisons with the Georgia football program. I'm sorry. I apologize. But I think Georgia's going to keep its foot on the gas and wreck the rambling wreck of Georgia Tech.
Hey, one thing I forgot to point out, I know we kind of hit on this already, but LSU, Oklahoma, I just want everybody in the world to be aware the over-under is 36.5 between LSU and Oklahoma. And
not low enough.
Most people like most
can't
people
make
be
it low enough.
How about Mizzou, Arkansas? Any thoughts there? Is Arkansas the best 2-9 team in Southeastern Conference history? I know that's kind of silly to even ask, but I think there's a legitimate case to be made.
They didn't cover last week, so I'm going to give you a hell no there, Mr. Bratt.
Does Missouri show up?
I mean,
does the coach show up? It sounds like he's already gone.
Yeah, he's already packed his bags. He's got a suitcase ready to roll. He's just all he needs is they'll say jump and he'll say how high. But it'll be fun to watch Ahmad Hardy one more time in a Missouri uniform. I'm curious if the next coach is going to keep him or if a drink's going to come along. I'm sure all the fans in Como are thrilled to hear this. But Drink, you need to get out of there. You don't need to be playing for 9-3. Okay. You need to find somewhere that appreciates you where you can go to the playoff. You can't do that in Como. Just skedaddle on out, Drink. We need Missouri to suck again. I don't like them being frisky. I know they had a lot of help with the schedule the last couple of years, but I need Ahmad Hardy out of there. And you know what? I also need to give Mark Stoops hell. How are you gonna let Missouri outbid you for Ahmad Hardy? Like, they should have just got that guy. That guy's awesome. That irritates me so much.
It could have changed the fortunes of the Kentucky football program.
I know, and Missouri would have sucked without that guy. So, yeah, I just...
Instead, they decided to pay Zach Calzada.
Hey, you know what? He threw a flea flicker. Almost got picked off. Did you see his final stat line?
No.
3 of 5, 4 yards and interception. The hell of a stat line. Get your money, Garrett.
Worth every penny.
Get your money, Garrett.
Who else is worth every penny? Our boy, Rolls Royce Pierce. He gifted 10 memberships. Shout out, EX Make'em Holo. I mean, these are some wild names. Chris, 020. William Cash, Yonko Slayer, Ant-Man 03, Sinless Sphere, the Chosen One, Corey Miller, Hayden Peters, UK Indult, I guess, and Bert Bishop. Welcome, all of y'all. And we also got Bulldog Mississippi. Thank you, Bulldog. He gifted James Fair. And then certainly not least but last, SEC Show. And he gifted 5 more to Chad Razorback, Steve Keysacker, what a name. Daniel 1525, Girth Brooks, that's my nickname, and Ryan Mack. Welcome, all of y'all.
I just need to send some condolences to our guy Bo, who...
Oh, no.
He says he can't stand Thanksgiving. He wished the Pilgrims ate tacos. The Lone Star Showdown should be on Thanksgiving Day. He's just very mad. Yeah. And the reason why he's mad and upset is because his vegan sister is hosting Thanksgiving.
Oh, no.
Why
do these people, again, choose how live how you want to live, but don't host the event if you can't partake in it.
I mean, Shane would just—he would say, "Kill me now," you know, like what? Now, Bo is bringing deviled eggs and bacon, so he's at least making sure that not everybody has to suffer through the vegan stuff. And here's the thing, too, Michael, I've had a black bean burger, and you know what? They can be fine. Like I've had some of that stuff, and it can work. But this is Thanksgiving. We're not. No. We're not cutting corners. You can try it with Easter. Do some sort of bullcrap ham replacement, whatever. But Thanksgiving, you cannot sanitize Thanksgiving. You got to go all out. All right, Bo, just my condolences, brother. That is, you poor soul. You know what, though? At least bourbon, that's vegan. So drink up, Shriner. That's how you get through it.
Absolutely. I think that's going to do it for the latest Roush Hour. Before you go, Nick, tell the cousins how to follow you and how to find all your work.
I'm at RoushKSR on the X, the Twitter machine, whatever it may be, whatever you want to call it. And Nick Roush, we're on Kentucky Sports Radio on the YouTubes everywhere. Come subscribe to us. Come see about it. We're having a lot of fun there. It's about to get a little crazy, and I'm excited for the rivalries. I'm excited for the games. And then once it's over, the carousel's going to get crazy. So I enjoy the games before it's all carousel, all portal. Because the games, this is where the good stuff is. So absolutely. Enjoy the good stuff. Enjoy your Thanksgiving. Thankful to be hanging out with y'all this college football season. It's been a lot of fun, Michael.
It has. Safe travels if you're traveling anywhere. Enjoy the food. Don't eat too much. And, man, we'll catch you on the next one, buddy. Bye-bye, everybody. We'll be back later with Cousin Shane.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Hey, buddy. This beer's for you, Mike, and Cousin Shane. That SEC podcast loves the pirate, and the pirate loves that SEC podcast. Hail State.